In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from John, the first chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I have an image that I would like to plant firmly in your minds because of what you've just heard from John chapter 1. The image is of dominoes, not the pizza, the game. A tile with the little dots on it. And not just dominoes in general, but dominoes standing on the end arranged in a very precise line. Starting here at the pulpit, winding around all of the pews, out into the narthex to the double set of glass doors, just as you enter in to the church. Got it? Now, I want you to imagine coming back to the pulpit and pushing the first domino over. It bumps into the next one, and bumps into the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and it makes a neat sound. Click, 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 click. And the really cool thing about it is that each domino is very important, and yet it is only a small part of something very, very, very large. Now, that's the thought. A very small part of something very, very large that moves from beginning to end. Now, that's not a bad way to think about John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. Because if you think about it, that's kind of the way the Gospel of John just runs through its entirely. You know how it begins. It begins really big as it can get. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's big. That's eternal. That's cosmic. And it gets even bigger. Then comes the biggest, most important event ever that the world has seen. The Word became flesh. God, the Creator, entered into His creation. He became man. He who was in the beginning made a new beginning for the world. Now that's verses 1 through 18 of John, chapter 1. That's what they're all about. Something very, very large. And then, in verse 19, the domino process begins. And it's made up of something very, very small, seemingly insignificant pieces. The first domino, John the Baptist. He's not the Christ, not the prophet. He's not Elijah. He's just a voice. He himself is nothing. He's just a voice. And then, verse 29. The next day, what does John do? Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Click. Then comes verse 35. The next day, he bumps into two more small pieces, two more dominoes, only this time they're his own disciples, one of whom happened to be named Andrew. Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Click, click. And those two here, those two begin to follow. They follow where Jesus is staying, and they stay with Jesus. And so they become a small part of something very, very large. And then, in verse 41 of our text, Andrew bumps into someone that he happens to know, his brother Peter. Click. We have found the Messiah. And so it goes to verse 43, the verse after our text. The next day, Jesus finds Philip, and click. And Philip goes and finds Nathanael, and click. And then on it goes to the third day, where there is a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And there, Jesus does the first sign, and he tells who he is and what he has come to do. That he is the bridegroom, that he's the host of a real celebration. And then there's another sign, and another sign, and another sign in John's gospel, all that lead up to the greatest sign of all. As they are going, people hear and click, 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 click. And it all leads to this great sign. God's Lamb dies, as it is written of him. And God's Lamb takes up his life again. And although Jesus did many other signs and wonders that were not written in this book, in this Gospel of John, John wrote all of this down so that the sound would continue. Click, click, click. Now, as these dominoes bump into each other, what's actually happening? Well, it's really quite simple. Each one in turn believes that Jesus is the Christ, that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead, and then they say to their friends and their family, come and see. That's it. They simply say what it all means. The one who was with God in the beginning has come to make a new beginning. He has come in the flesh. He was sacrificed for your sins, for my sins, for the world's sins. He's God's Lamb. Come and see. Now, we live in rural North Dakota, and so I don't have to explain to you what it means to be God's Lamb. You already know. Lambs, they don't exist to simply be cute and cuddly, as those in metropolises and suburban America might think. That's not their primary job. You full well know, being in a farming community, that lambs are there to bleed and to die. But why did this lamb have to die? Because the world is a place filled with darkness, and people, even you and me, are born into that darkness. People who don't know where to go. People who are lost and can't find their way back to God. Lost and condemned in their sin. Sin is the problem. Sin is what separates people from God. And just look around you. Not just people from God, but us from one another. How many people were you angry at this week, who you should have been united to? Friends, family, spouse, child, grandchild. Yet we find ourselves separated from one another because of sin. And for all that sin, someone has to die to make it right. Someone has to take the punishment. Someone has to be the sacrifice. Because that's how it is with a God who hates sin and who cares about right and wrong. But there is such good news in John's words. Jesus is God's Lamb for you. You and I do not have to die as a sacrifice for our own sins. Not at all. Because God made a new beginning. He sent his Son, his Lamb, into the world. And Jesus loves us enough to be that. To be the Lamb for us. Instead of us. In our place. You see, that's how it is with God, who loves the whole world. Do you see the really good news? It's good because it is real. It's a real event with real meaning. The Word became flesh, not an idea, not a whim, not a concept, not a proposal. He became a man. And on that morning, he really walked right by John the Baptist. And John pointed to a real guy. And that real guy really hung on the cross in love for you. And he died a real death, our death. And nothing can change that. And on the third day, there he wasn't. The tomb, it was empty. Because Jesus rose from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. And he offers that life to everyone who believes in him. This news is so good because it's so real. Real enough to bring cleansing and forgiveness to real sinners like you and me, who struggle with real sins, lust, greed, gossip, gluttony, hatred, jealousy. Even he brings forgiveness for the times when our pride and our arrogance overwhelm us and the world, when we believe that we are very, very large, really big, and that the world revolves around us. Even for those times, Jesus dies for you. Even for the times when you refuse to be a domino. Even when you cower in fear and refuse to tell people, your friends and your family about Jesus, tell them to come and see. Even for that, Jesus is God's Lamb. You know, the funny thing about dominoes is that the longer the line of dominoes is, the more impressive it is, and the more joyful of a sound it is. Click, 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 click. Domino after domino, bumping into each other, coming into contact, passing it on. It started in the beginning. Andrew got to be a small part of something very, very large. But that sound has been echoing for about 2,000 years. And you can hear it in your life as well. Your parents, or your pastor, or your grandparents, or your friend, or your spouse told you about God's Lamb, Jesus, and what he means. Click. And so here you are. A very dearly loved saint of the living God, and a very small part of something very, very large. As I was thinking about this, I toyed with the idea of having you line up. I would be right here by the pulpit in front, and then a person would stand right behind me, and then another, and another, and another, and we would wind around all the pews until we got to the narthex and got to the glass doors. And as I was thinking about this, as I was pondering this, I thought, who should be last in line? I thought the last person might be a younger man or a younger woman, because they would just fall right out of the door. Right out of the door and into the mission field, where they could go and tell another person to come and see. Well, we won't do that. But on the second Sunday of Epiphany, we can believe and we can rejoice that God has taught us the meaning of Jesus, God's Lamb. We can rejoice that God has placed us into the community of Lidgerwood, where we can just bump into each other. Bump into each other as we walk, as we shop, as we live together in Lidgerwood. And that as we bump into one another, we can tell each other about what it means that Jesus has become the crucified and risen Lamb of God for you. I gotta say, it's really cool on the second Sunday after Epiphany to know that you and I are a small part of something very, very large that began at the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.